sisters, without further ado, from Cabin Creek, West Virginia, the one, the only UMWA President, Cecily Roberts.
Well, after that introduction, I'm going home, and thanks for coming. Now, I want to do something here. I want to say just a few words about struggles, not only in the labor movement, but in all movements. I want you to do something for me first. The very first thing that happens in these struggles is what? They attack your leadership. And if you don't believe that, read your Bible. They attack Jesus. They attack Moses, they attack Gandhi, they attack John L. Lewis, they attack Martin Luther King, they attack the leadership of the CIO. And I want you to understand something very basic here. Workers that are united will never be defeated. They give me this mic because I cannot stay in one place. I just kicked over the water. The batteries are rolling down the steps. But I am going to do something right now. I am going to grab the hands of your leadership. And I want you, and for that matter, every single person in West Virginia, from the age of 2 to 102, we stand united, and workers who are united will never be defeated. Workers! Let's make sure that the people in here, the people across the river, and maybe up to Willie, down to McDowell County, workers that are united will never be defeated. Workers that are united will never
be defeated. Hands right here, guys. Come out here.
Thank you.
That's a picture that will defeat the billionaires, the gazillionaires, the Koch brothers, the Blankenship, and everybody that opposes us. Can I have a moment of personal privilege? I would like all you MWA members that are here to hold your hand up. I want to thank you. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Now we're going to do something. We get talked awfully bad about from time to time, don't we? I happen to think we're the most patriotic people on earth right here today. I want this young man to stand up. You don't know him, but this is my friend Will Adding. I'm the co-chair of the Veterans Committee at the AFL-CIO. This is our number one staff person, Will. You know, war heroes never tell you they're a war hero. He has in his possession a CIB, Combat Infantry Badge. What that means, by the way, is that he's been shot at in defense of the United States of America. Now, this is full participation. I invite everybody in my remarks to participate. What I would like, and you're going to have to work with me for a second. If you are a veteran and you're with us today, I know my friend Bill Brown and Bob Brown and I are veterans. If you're a veteran, hold your hand up and keep it up. If you're a veteran, hold your hand up and keep it up. Don't put it down. Keep it up. Keep your hands up. Now, if you are here with us today and you have a family member, a son, a daughter, a brother, sister, a grandson, a niece, a nephew that's serving the United States military right now, put your hand up and keep it up. Keep them up. Keep them up. We thought it'd be good to show the legislature who they're talking bad about. Now, if you had a family member, a father, or a grandfather, or an aunt, an uncle, anybody in your family, put your hand up, and I want you to look out at this crowd. I want somebody to get a picture of this. I want you to look at this. This is about 99% right here. We are the most patriotic people on earth, and we're exercising the greatest right our families fought for, and that's to come here and petition our government. We have stood up for the great state of West Virginia, and we have stood up for the United States of America. And today, we ask our government to stand up for us for a change. first recommendation here. And that recommendation is, we got a problem here. And it's just not them being stubborn. Destiny, somebody tell me where to stand here. I have concluded that they are somewhat uninformed. So, I have also concluded that we've got a math problem here. We also have a bit of a geography problem here. We got a bit of a civics problem here. So we've got a bit of a history problem here. So, in addition to getting everybody back to the bargaining table, I think we ought to get a joint session of the legislature. Now, I need a middle school geography teacher, a middle school math teacher, a middle school civics teacher, and a middle school history teacher. And you said, why not a high school teacher? They're right over their heads. So if you've got a basic understanding, I didn't say a really good understanding, right? Just a basic understanding about civics, you know what Dr. King told us. He said part of the greatness of America is the right to protest for right. Some people out there in the state too that doesn't understand that. How about, I'm gonna get the history list, okay? But with respect to math, math and geography go together here. If I'm 10 miles from the Ohio border and I'm teaching in West Virginia, if I want to drive 10 more minutes, should I be able to make $20,000 more? Let me say this, and this might really hurt their feelings, okay? If you look on that list of 67, I don't know how they came to that number, 67 of the most famous West Virginians, and you ask them, who made a difference in your life? Every single one of them would say a teacher. Would mention these people. Not a one of them. Now, look at what we have here. We have about 270 some thousand kids, don't we? Let me tell you what is the truth. Amongst that 270,000 plus kids, we have another 70 famous West Virginians in waiting. Another 70 in waiting. We have scientists that might discover a cure for cancer. produces more war heroes than anybody in that list. We got the next Randy Moss waiting to come out of West Virginia and tear up the NFL. And I believe with every fiber of my body that somewhere in that number, that's the next person who might become president of the United States of America. And I know this. You take a poll of those kids that we're talking about in class now, that you teach every day, that the bus driver drives to school every day, that the cooks in the cafeteria feed every day. You ask those kids, 75% of them would say, other than my mom and my dad, you make a difference in their life. And about 1% of them, 1%, because I assume somebody up here's got a kid in school, 1% would say these people. So, if the most important people in their lives are you, why don't we pay you like you're the most important people in their lives? Pay you like you are the most important person in their lives, because you are. Let me just do a brief history if I might. These people don't get it. You are standing in the exact same place where in 1969, 40,000 coal miners went on strike and came right here. Understand why? Because the people in the legislature said there is no such thing as black loan. That's what these coal miners were told, and they said, we're choking to death. We got more sense than you've got. They came here. They didn't leave until they got justice. About 15 miles from here, one of the previous speakers mentioned it. 10,000 coal miners marched on Logan County because they were being held prisoner. They were not making a dime. I've got to say this. Mother Jones would be so proud. So proud. To look at this crowd and see all the women, young, middle-aged, and slightly older, here today. And I said all the women, because Mother Jones said, the rich aristocrats made ladies. God Almighty made women. Thank you. these people don't understand. I saw a Rosa Parks sign out here somewhere, right out here, right there. When those miners came here, they were breaking the law. When they marched on Blair Mountain, they were breaking the law. When Rosa Parks wouldn't give up her seat, she was breaking the law. And let me tell you this, if we had not had a civil rights movement, African Americans would still be deprived of their rights to eat where they wanted to. So here it is. I want to tell you one last story about Dr. King, and I hope you can take some inspiration from this. Dr. King was 26 years old when he became the leader of the Montgomery bus boycott. He was dead at age 39. He was with us 13 years on the public stage. It's not how long you live, it's what you do with your life while you're here. Dr. King was elected by the other ministers in Montgomery, and he made a comment. He said, I'm going to do this for about a month, and I'm going back to my church. Thank God he didn't do that. Thank God he didn't do that. Years old. How many of us here today, I'm gonna make this easy, are older than 26? All right. Dr. King found himself not only leading a bus boycott, but becoming a civil rights leader. Dr. King had little children. In the middle of that bus boycott, they blew his front porch off with dynamite. At night, his phone would ring. And this is a little what these leaders are going through. And it's be some maid, the poorest of the poor, saying, Dr. King, I can't get to work. What am I gonna do? And then the phone would ring again, and it would be the Klan. We're gonna kill you. We're gonna kill your wife. We're gonna kill your kids. And at some point in time, Dr. King felt this was too much. It was overwhelming, this man, the greatest leader we've ever seen. He was overwhelmed. He woke up in the middle of the night. He went downstairs, and Dr. King said, I have never had a religious experience. He was a minister, but never had been touched by God. So he comes downstairs. He goes into his kitchen. We're 6 months into this. He doesn't know if family's going to be killed. He doesn't know if he can ever get an agreement to allow African Americans to have a seat on the boat. He throws his hands up. He looks towards heaven and he says, my God, what have I done? And God spoke to him at that moment. If you call out to God, he will speak to you, by the way. He will. And God just said this, Martin, do what's right. I submit to you today, if you feel you're doing the right thing. Don't quit. Stand up. Fight back. Stand with your leaders. Make an offer today. This is not really a strike. This, my brothers and sisters, is a movement. This is when the good people of West Virginia take back their state and stand up.
Okay, folks.